This is the Ask Chef Jacob Podcast, episode 19, Some Bread Questions. Fun to listen to sometimes, and the Stella Culinary School podcast, where we actually talk about the technique and science behind food. And I just released Stella Culinary School podcast episode 24, Let's Talk Turkey, and we drilled down different ways to treat your turkey and kind of my philosophy on breaking down the turkey before you cook it, some techniques with sous vide cooking, roasting, roulade, pan roasting. All of that stuff is available or talked about in Stella Culinary School podcast episode 24, which you can find online at stellaculinary.com/SES24. And linked in those show notes are six technique videos I did on turkey. So we start by breaking down a whole turkey, and then we pan roast the breast. We turn the leg into a roulade after we debone it. We take all of the bones generated from breaking down that turkey, roast them, turn them into a delicious stock, and then take that stock and turn it into a gravy. So six technique videos for your viewing pleasure right before the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States. But turkey's great any time of the year, really. So, you know, watch this video. So even if you're listening to this podcast in the future, you can – that was lame – you can watch those videos anytime, and it's universal too. So whatever you can do with a turkey, you can do with a chicken. So some good technique there. Now, in today's episode, we have some bread questions coming in from Bruce. And Bruce says, greetings, Jacob. I just finished listening to the Stella Culinary School podcast, episode 19, The 12 Steps of Bread. Again, an excellent podcast. What I seem to have missed are two things. One, you suggest that the stretch and fold method with 20-minute rests work best. You said something about baking enriched sandwich loaf, which I am unsure of. Do you apply the stretch and fold method, then do a standard kneading on a surface, or are 4 to 5 stretch and folds enough? Secondly, you suggested that one should refrain from adding salt into the main ingredients at the beginning. I missed, however, at what stage you should add the salt. I am truly enjoying your teaching skills and willingness to share. Many thanks, Bruce. Okay. Well, Bruce, thank you for your question. Let's go ahead and tackle your second question first, which is the autolyse step. So when you are making bread, you're mixing the flour and the water together first. And something that's not commonly known is, so I mean, you look at a lot of bread recipes, they're going to tell you, you know, mix your ingredients and then knead for 10 minutes. And they'll tell you to hand knead, or they'll tell you to mix with a dough hook attachment. But the issue is, it takes minimum 10 minutes for the gluten and gliadin, which the two proteins that come together to form gluten, it takes 10 minutes minimum for the gluten and gliadin to come together and to fully hydrate. Now, until they fully hydrate, you're not going to be able to form a gluten structure, which is the whole purpose of kneading in the first place. Now, also, too, what can happen is salt and sugar and fat all will retard gluten development. So a lot of the times what bread bakers will do is they'll do an autolyse step where they mix just the flour and water together, and they don't add in any ingredient that will retard the gluten development. And those main ingredients are going to be fat, so you know, your butter, oil, salt, and sugar. So those are left out. And you let this hydration step happen for usually about 20 to 30 minutes, and you don't even need it. So you mix the flour and water together just long enough for the flour to moisten, really, so there's no longer any dry flour. Then cover this with plastic wrap or a damp towel and walk away for 30 minutes. And when you come back, that gluten network has already started to form because you've allowed the gluten and gliadin in the flour to fully hydrate. Now, at this point, you're ready to knead, and you can add in your fat. So this is at the point where you add in your fat, your salt, your sugar, whatever your recipe is calling for, and then you knead. Now, the hydration step, this Oderle step, is nice because it actually causes you to knead less. So you don't need to knead the dough as much to form your gluten structure. So that means less kneading time if you're kneading it by hand, which is just going to save you time and, you know, not wear out your shoulders and your forearms. But also it means an easier time on the motor in your KitchenAid mixer if you are using a mixer. Okay, so after the Oderle step, after that hydration step, you're going to add your salt at that point, and then you're going to knead. And then whatever you knead, you're going to knead until you can pass the window pane test, which means you're just pulling off a small piece of dough and stretching it thin enough to where you can see light through that membrane that you stretch. Now, if it tears before it reaches that point to where you can stretch it to see light through, that tearing is telling you that your gluten development hasn't fully formed yet, so you need to continue kneading. Now, excuse me one second, a little wet the whistle. Okay, so now to answer your first question, this has everything to do with kneading and gluten development. So there's a couple of different ways to develop gluten. Number one is just pure hydration. So you hydrate the gluten or you hydrate the flour and you leave it for a long enough period of time that gluten structure will form, and you need a higher hydration rate than normal. So based on the baker's percentage, you're looking at about 75%. And, you know, so to put this into context, a basic baguette is normally about anywhere from 60 to 63% hydration. So a much wetter dough. And this is the whole, if you look at Jim Leahy's no-knead method that got popularized as a convenience thing for, you know, a few years ago, this is how his bread works, is he uses high hydration doughs, so usually in the 75% plus range, and then you leave that dough overnight, and then you come back 18 hours later, maybe stretch it or shape it a little bit. Even that is very minimal with his approach. And then you bake it. So the no-knead approach is literally no kneading necessary. Now, the issue with that, in my opinion, is the dough structure doesn't really come out all that great. You get a nice open, airy crumb, but it's not ideal. And if you give it just a few stretch and folds, then you give that gluten structure a chance to align itself, and you're going to have a much more cohesive piece of dough that's going to hold its shape while it's baking. It's going to have a superior oven spring. So that's where the stretch and fold comes in. Now, what a stretch and fold does is it aligns the gluten structure of the dough with minimal handling. Now, the reason why you would want to handle your dough minimally is to get an open, irregular crumb. So you cut into a big artisan boule, like a round loaf of bread, and you look at that crumb, and it has these large, irregular holes. So it gives it a different texture, and it also gives it that look that people are looking for that style of bread. So you can slice it, you can toast it, but it's not necessarily a sandwich bread, where a sandwich bread has a more cohesive crumb. It's the air pockets are evenly distributed, and there's no large holes. So you get that large, irregular hole through higher hydration and minimalistic kneading. So if you want to achieve that open, airy structure, then you do a stretch and fold. So after your Oderle step, where you mix the flour and water together, you then add in your salt. And when I do my Oderle step, if I'm using commercial yeast, I'll mix my commercial yeast with my water before I add my flour. And if I'm doing sourdough starter, I'll mix my sourdough starter with my water and then mix my flour in. And then I'll let it go through the Oderle step of 30 minutes hydration. And then I will add in my salt and sugar. And if I'm using the stretch and fold method, right now is when I will do my first stretch and fold. And you can see this demonstrated in our sourdough bread baking video. If you go to stellaculinary.com/ SB is our bread baking index, so that'll drop you into all of our bread. And if you go to, I'm just pulling it up right here. Yeah, so if SB4, so stellarculinary.com/SB4, there's a video there on how to make a basic sourdough boule. And by the way, we just launched a brand new website redesign, and it is looking gorgeous. So yeah, so you will see the stretch and fold demonstrated in that technique video. And again, this is to give you a more open area crumb. So you do a, you know, you pull one third towards you, fold it into the middle of dough, pull the top third towards you or out away from you, and then fold it into the middle of dough. And then you do the same thing on both sides, the right side and the left side. Okay. And that is one stretch and fold. And then you let it rest for 20 minutes because at this point, when you're anytime you're working the dough, the gluten has kind of, it will tense and you'll notice this, that it will tighten. And then you come back 20 minutes later and you give it another stretch and fold. And then you come back 20 to 30 minutes later and you give it another stretch and fold. And what this does is over the course of time, after you do about 5 stretch and fold intervals, you're going to have a cohesive gluten structure without a whole lot of kneading. So again, this is going to give you that open, airy crumb. Now, when you're making something like sandwich bread or brioche hamburger buns, you don't want an open, airy texture. You tend to want a more cohesive crumb. So that's why we will use harsher kneading, and that's why you take your sandwich bread and you will knead it in your KitchenAid mixer. I mean, our brioche, we knead for 10 to 15 minutes. In the KitchenAid mixer. And there's also a lot of fat too, and that's another thing. So fat will give you a more cohesive crumb as well, because fat will coat the gluten strands in the bread and it will shorten them. And that's why, you know, fat, when you see it sold in the baking section, it's called shortening, because it actually shortens gluten strands, which weakens the gluten structure and gives you more cohesive crumb. So in short, open airy crumb is high hydration, low to usually no fat, and minimalistic kneading using the stretch and fold process. A more dense, even crumb that you are looking for in dinner rolls, sandwich bread, brioche buns, that it comes from direct aggressive kneading. So, you know, using your dough hook attachment for 10 to 15 minutes and the addition of fat. So, Bruce, I hope this answered your question, and if you have any more, you know where to find me. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Ask Chef Jacob, part of the StellaCulinary.com podcast network. Check out our other podcast, Stella Culinary School, which you can learn all sorts of different professional-level cooking techniques. And again, we just released a brand-new episode, episode 24, on how to make amazing Thanksgiving Day turkey, including some really awesome gravy. Also, too, you can check out Stellacast if you want to hear me rambling or whatever crazy reason. And if you enjoyed this episode and our podcast, do me a favor, head on over to iTunes or Stitcher where you can find all of our podcasts and leave us a review. Thanks again, and I will see you in the next episode. Why do I always say that? I'll talk to you next episode. Oh, show notes, StellaCulinary.com/HCJ19.